deacon here and the pastor. It's away for, I don't know, a couple of days, I guess, to spend some time with the wife. And he asked me to step in for him. So this is the first time I ever did a Friday night, and about the third time I've been talking through this mic. So I'm one of them guys who kind of hear his voice and always trying to think that I can hear on that side. So if I'm not loud enough, please let me know. I appreciate it. The text of scripture tonight we'll be coming out of is Mark 5, 25 to 34. The title will be called, What is Your Issue? So I'm very sure most of you are familiar with that particular text. And it was pressed on my heart for a long time. And because the majority of the church is ladies, I figured y'all would get a blessing out of it. And we pray that that is the case. Oh, okay. So he has a new system. I'm going to not look up here. I'm going to try to see how this works. He says it's supposed to be a little delay, you know, all this technology and everything. So I'm going to see if I can get it together. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Okay, I think I'm going to go this way because it ain't changed right here yet. Okay, so no, I read my Bible. I got my Bible. So a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, is something wrong? Oh. And Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee and saying, thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Please bow your head for a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this privilege and opportunity you've given us, Father, to come before you in fellowship and in worship, to be most excited, to be most thirsty and hungry to hear from you. Father, life has been challenging. And Lord, we know that the only way we can continue is to learn and trust and obey, because you are a sovereign and holy and just God, and you've always shown to be faithful to your peoples, Father. And we ask you, Father, with humble hearts, to bless this message tonight for each and every one of us, that it may be applicable to our life, Lord, in whichever way you deem fit. Father, we believe that you are the only God and you are our Father because, Father, you speak to us personally in our souls. So, Father, you, the only one, can look inside and see our heart and see what's going on and what issues we have, Father. But as we will read tonight, Father, there was one of your elect that you chose to set apart that she may be an object lesson for your people regarding your redemption and salvation. And Father, we believe that it's only by faith are we saved through grace and not of anything, Father, that we have done, because we agree with your word in regards to our condition, Father. We're sinful and unworthy, but because you've shown mercy upon us. Yes, yes. So, Father, we pray and ask you to continue to shine your face upon us, Father, and be gracious to us. And give traveler mercies to those that are still coming. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and by his blood and atoning work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I give you a little introduction in regards to this particular woman, because the Bible didn't put a lot of emphasis on her name or her family or pretty much exactly just what city she lived in. But we do know that Jesus was traveling on his way to heal a 12-year-old young lady, because her father had requested of Jesus earlier on in chapter 5. And on his way, this particular lady who was suffering from this particular incurable disease cut into his path. And it was very interesting how the story unfolded, is because as we read over in verse 27, it starts off to say, or I should say, verse 25, it says she had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, I can kind of somewhat relate to her situation in regard, because I'm in the house with three ladies, and over the years I've seen how they have been able to adjust or deal with that particular situation that comes around each month in their life. And I do all I can. Sometimes I just keep my mouth shut and just listen. And I found out that to be a good thing right there, because when you don't have an answer and you don't really have any type of way to help them but to listen and be a comfort to them, then I think that has been very successful for me. So looking back at her particular situation, I found very good comfort in her situation, is because the number 12 in itself spoke of government and it spoke of perfection. And as each year went on, and she's going through this particular infirmity, I can see her becoming more and more and more discouraged, more and more and more helpless. And by her being of a child of the Jews or Israel, I can pretty much guarantee that what probably was keeping her, and I won't even say probably, it was the promises of God. Because in my own personal experience and going through very tough and difficult situations, even outside of the faith, just the little bit of knowledge I got when I was a kid, them promises helped me to overcome a lot of challenging things in my life that I couldn't get an answer on. But the scripture that really stayed close to me was in regards to what God said about us being in Christ before the foundation of the world, and having a little bit of understanding about how God works in the salvation of his peoples and the means by which he goes about redeeming them, rescuing them, saving them from the different enemies and the sins that or the power of sin that has befallen upon all of us. So I said, I wrote down, I say, this particular woman, she has some challenges in regards to that condition, is because the society wouldn't accept her, because the law had placed a curse upon her. So we'll go over into what the issue was. It was the curse that was placed upon her, and that curse we can find out was in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19. And I'll read that in regards to how the law responded to her particular issue, her particular sin, which labeled her and classified her, I should say, as unclean. And when a woman has a menstrual flow, she shall be in a state of impurity for 7 days. Anyone who touches her shall be unclean until the evening. Anything on which she lies or sits during her impurity shall be unclean. Anyone who touches her bed shall wash his garments, bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. Whoever touches any article of furniture on which she was sitting, sitting shall wash his garment, bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. But if she is on the bed or on the seat which he touches, he shall be unclean until evening. If a man dares to lie with her, he contracts her impurity and shall be clean for 7 days. Every bed on which he then lies also becomes unclean. When a woman is inflicted with a flow of blood for several days outside of her menstrual period, or when her flow continues beyond the ordinary period, as long as she suffers this unclean flow, she shall be unclean, just as during her menstrual period. Any bed on which she lies during such a flow becomes unclean, and it would bring her menstruation. And any article of furniture on which she sits becomes unclean just as during her menstruation. Anyone who touches them becomes unclean. He shall wash his garment, bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. If she becomes free from her affliction, she shall wait 7 days, and only then is she to be purified. On the 8th day, she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons and bring them to the priest at the entrance of the meeting tent. The priest shall offer up one of them as a sin offering and the other as a holocaust. Thus shall the priest make atonement before the Lord for an unclean flow. You shall warn the Israelites of their uncleanness, lest by defiling my dwelling, which is in their midst, their uncleanness be the cause of their death. This is the law for the man who is afflicted with a chronic flow or who has an emission of seed and thereby become unclean, as well as for the woman who has a menstrual period or is afflicted with a chronic flow. The law for male and female, and also for male who lies with an unclean woman. A woman was considered ceremonially unclean when having a discharge of blood that lasted well past her period of menstruation. It did not have to last past her normal period of menstruation. It was even during her period of menstruation, however you say that. That's a new word for me. So basically, we see that if that particular infirmity that she had didn't operate naturally like it was supposed to, then the law said you got to get out, you got to leave, you're unclean. And we all know about how God's law works, and that God's law is holy and perfect and pure. And because he was teaching Israel through the law about himself in regards to his righteousness and how much he loved himself, then, and the further purpose that he had for them when they enter into the promised land, that this was serious business right here. This wasn't like how we, you know, deal with little lies and different stuff like that. This is the holy and just God who's given instructions, and his people are to follow them. And anyone who don't follow them, then judgment has to be executed. So let's move on into the story since we've already pretty much explained in regards to what her issue was and seeing the 12 years and how we can find hope in this story, because we know how God operates in regards to the redemption, the redeeming of his people, saving his people. And we can go back to Israel and dealing with that whole issue of them being in bondage to Egypt and what the work that it took in order to bring them out. Because there's always some labor in regards to our offenses that God has to come and execute for us, that we may be justified, we may be exonerated, we may be pardoned, not just because we say things with our mouth, but God is one who looks at the heart. And that's where the true worship is in the heart to Him, and what we're truly thinking in our heart and what our motivation is. Because even with Israel, when they did the sacrificial system that God set up, it was a lot of people who brought lambs and animals up there to be slaughtered for their sins. But really in their heart, they still was contemplating on going back doing that same wrong. Because God said, I'm not like man. I don't look on the outside. And he was telling Samuel, he said, I look at the heart. And that's what this is all about. It's about us being sincere, us being genuine, and acknowledging that we need God to do what's necessary to save us, to cleanse us, to forgive us. More importantly, it's about that, acknowledging that unto God, that them particular sins, whether in thought, whether in deed, or whatever it may be, that God is, as the scriptures say, let every man be a liar, but God is true. So when we're dealing with a holy God as such, David said from his experiences that the Lord is near a contrite heart, and he saveth such with a broken spirit. So this particular, these particular events that's finna go on in this young lady's life, she's not knowing that they're all ordained by God. It looks very bad, but really, we'll find out. It's all purposed in God, because his son, the king, is coming. And when the king comes, then things got to be cleared out. The proud, the haughty got to be lowered. Because also David said that there are hidden secret sins in his heart that, Lord, I need you to go in that I don't know about and deal with. See, this is what this is about right here. Because this lady, and the scripture didn't specifically talk about any specific sin that she did. So this is a situation where events took place in her life that she may have thought to herself as Job, why is this happening to me? And typically, like I do, we go and think about sins 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and say the justice of God didn't caught up with me. But that's not the case right there. Now we lean into our own understanding. And we got to be careful of that, because we know that God is a God of perfection. And being a God of perfection, whatever he ordained in eternity past, having full knowledge of all things, he put solutions there. And we learned that from Adam and Eve when they sinned, and he already had an animal, a sacrifice, a substitute set up for them. So we look at this story and we see, if God didn't pay for your sins, the most greatest thing that he could have did that caused enmity between you and him, how much he's able to take care of all the smaller things in your life that you have issues with, that you worry about, that you struggle with. The issue is what he says over in John 8:31-32. If you continue, maybe you will, maybe you won't, in the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When I teach the kids, I always emphasize this point to them. It's about 200 hours in a week. You come to church for an hour, but you can go to school 5 days because of the threat of punishment, and you obey the teacher, and you learn to show your love and gratitude to your parents for what they did for you. But I say you come to God who gave you your mother, who gave you your father, and you can't even give him 15 minutes. I was talking to my buddy last week, and we were talking about how Paul was able to rejoice in prison. Now, here's a man who was persecuting the church. Now, he's inside the prison, praising God, and got his boys with him, and they praising God, which seems kind of twisted. But that's the gospel right there. Taking that hard, hardened, stony heart, shining the light of the gospel as God did, bringing him low, and then showing him his purpose, what he had for him, and trusting in God to the point that he took on the suffering that he used to inflict people with joy. With joy. Now, I like this sister right here because she didn't have a pity party. She didn't throw the towel in and walk around moping and all that other stuff. Verse 26 says she got busy trying to find a cure for her situation. And I like the verse 26 because now we got an answer for people who say, you don't need to go see a doctor. You can just pray this thing through. So she got busy. Now, the sister is the type of us right now is because we're afflicted with sin. And I know majority of us, hopefully all of us, are believers in here. But can't you remember when you didn't know God and you didn't know what was going on in your life and you was just trying to use everything you can to deal with them issues in your life? Not knowing, as the word said, you were dead and born dead in trespasses and sin. Not knowing your condition, you were depraved and in need of God, but feeling like I can go out here and I can find something that's going to bring fulfillment to my life, that's going to bring some real, I don't want to say everlasting, but some enduring joy to my life, something tangible that I can, you know, look at every day and not get tired of looking at after 5 years. And you know how I go when we on that little frantic search for happiness. And then we find out when I was a kid, I used to want that big wheel. And I said, that's the only thing I wanted. Then I grew up and I wanted a car. And pretty much you start, you know, catching on that that's how life is. But see, God's whole purpose was what he told Adam. He didn't say, look at these things and fall in love with them and let them be your identity and your fulfillment. He said, manage them. And that's what our problem was. We had an issue with managing things. So when she gets on this on this search to find a cure, she ended up broke. She ended up broke. Now, I ain't going to put a lot of the practical type of things there. I'll let you do that in your own life and what you were seeking and searching for. But I'm just going to say that thanks be to God that he brought us to the place where we realize that we need some help. there has to be a better purpose for life than just following in the footsteps of someone 5 steps ahead of us. So as I was talking with my kids early on, I told them, if you want to know where you're going, just look at the person that's 60, that's 50, 60, 70 years. Just look at the doctor. Just look at the lawyer. Because pretty much you're walking right in that same path right there. And you can learn from them and pretty much decide if you want to go in that direction, you want to go in that direction. So when this young lady came to that point where she became completely broke, when she came to that point where she was completely broke, I think that's where she started to utilize the prayers and the promises. No, she started to pray and then utilize the promises that God had. given her. Because right after that, she received an answer. And I tried to put my papers in order, so let me see if I can kind of get to where I was. That's the last page. Okay, here we go. So, basically, we hear, and she suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, when she heard. Now, we come each week, and I think we get taught 4 or 5 times a week. We get taught so much, I think I'll have to raise my hand and say some of them messages, I got to put them off because I am stuffed. But all this has a purpose. It all has a purpose towards our transformation, towards us taking on that likeness of Christ, towards us becoming and desiring to be more and more honest, more and more sincere, more and more righteous, more and more holy, as the scriptures say. But the main thing is to be able to share the gospel to someone who's buried in their problems, buried in their sins, and without hope. Because someone was obedient to God's instructions and followed in the footsteps of the prophets, they shared the message about Jesus and what he's able to do with this young lady. And she broke wide right away to go and find out where he was, because she knew her condition and just how sick she was. And she seen blood dripping out of her body every day. And if me and you see sin dripping out of our body every day like her, then we should be doing the same thing. We should have the same motivation that she had. That if there is a God and he created me and he knows all things, and he say he is displeased with the wicked and the unrighteous, then I need to try to find out where the message of hope, the message of redemption is. I should be seeking that, because that's the very thing that's eating at my soul. Because that curse that was on her, that curse is on us. That's that corruption that is eating up inside of us. That corruption is in our blood. That corruption is where our soul lives, in our blood. It should arrest our conscience. Because we see people die every day. And as scriptures say, all shall give account. But before that it say, the soul that sinned must die. That's the law. Say, if you can't keep it in one place, then you failed. So it's knocking all of us down in regards to our righteousness, in terms to our ability to try to gain the approbation of God. You know, we know the scriptures say, for all our works are like filthy rags. It's like, what is it about us that God is pleased with? What is it about this woman that he is pleased with? She's the least of everybody. Because, you know, when you go outside the camp, you out there with the trash. When you go outside the camp, you with, I should say refuge, more educated word. You out there with the refuge, with the trash. When you out there, you out there with the leopards. And this is a lady. But guess what? They got to be obedient to God. Sister, you got to go. Now, you out there 12 years in this jungle, in this wilderness, trying to make it through this thing right here. You ain't got a dollar in your pocket. You can't go see husband. You can't go see family. Nobody can touch you. You ostracized, totally. Now, we can agree with that, because that was us in regards to our relationship with God. We were his enemies, and we enjoyed being out there. We had no problem with it. And every day we see people leave this earth, and we wouldn't scratch our head to say, that could be me. That could be me. So, when she heard of Jesus, she came running. Now, tonight we made it here. Everybody look healthy. Look like y'all done ate. Don't look like the employer beat y'all down too bad. But guess what? She had an obstacle in front of her before she got through to the master. She had all them people standing around. She got to squeeze through there. And you got to remember, she's unclean. If she touch anybody, there's consequences to this situation right here. When you're unclean, they can pick up them stones and go and let you have it. There's a number of things they could do. But see, she was determined. And she displayed courage. Because there's a scripture that says if you love your life, you'll lose it. But if you're willing to give it up, you'll receive it. So, like the song say, ain't no stopping us now, it wasn't no stopping her. Because I say she had to know something about scripture. She had to. She grew up in that environment. That's all they did. Ain't like us, got 50 channels on the TV, go out shoot some basketball, got restaurants all over the place, beaches and everything. This is, man, they was, you know, like they say, she was sold, they were sold out. Even though things went bad and they started doing religion and they stopped thinking and God was giving them signs all the time, even to the leaders, because we're talking 400 years in Egypt. Now we're talking 400 years from Malachi to the coming of Jesus. You just scratch your head and say, last time we was in bondage, the Savior didn't leave us there. He came to get us. Now I'm looking all over Israel and I'm seeing all these sick people. Because remember, the guy, 28 years, was at the pool of Bethesda. You see her with the issue of blood. You see the demoniac. See, you see a whole lot of sick people in Israel right now. Where's the teachers at? Well, we can look up there. The physicians was, they had physicians, but they had the teachers. You remember the Pharisees? They were the ones put there by God. But we know from that clock right there, if we all set our watch according to that clock, if that clock is wrong, we're going to be wrong. So the leaders was wrong. The people are going to be wrong. Because I know myself, if I ain't got nobody with more authority than me, my heart is always trying to influence me. See, instead of obeying the law, they was trying to figure out ways how to get around the law. See? And that's what brought on the judgment of God upon them. Back to the heart again. See? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? I don't even know my heart. That's why I pray constantly. Keep me, Lord. Keep me. Keep me. Because I desire and I aspire for nice things in life. But we can read through the scriptures and find out them the very things that took a whole lot of us off the cliff. See, we walk by faith, not by sight. And walking by faith, you trusting in something outside yourself. And you trusting in God. And he gave you that faith to aim that faith at him through the person of Jesus Christ. So that while she's going through this suffering, this infirmity, she's trying to get an answer to it. And our answer comes after she heard. Just like that. And I was thinking about the 12 years. I got ran over when I was a baby. Ran out in the street, car ran me over. Towed me up. Had a bunch of surgeries. But you know something about all that pain? After you heal up, you don't too much remember it no more. But one thing you do, you thank God that you made it through it. So, when she touched her master and she was healed, she thought she was going to just get that little blessing and break wide. Hold on, sister. Hold on. Now we got to really do surgery now. Now this is where it start at. She said, and when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She made it through all that false preaching. She made it through all them get-rich schemes. She made it through all that stuff. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Instantaneously. It gives us hope, because guess what? If we follow the instructions of God and he say, he that believeth on the Son shall have life. And guess what? Instantaneously, you are saved. You're still going to go around with them little ailments, but guess what? You got the Spirit of God now. So now you can be a warrior now like Israel. You can start being trained to go to battle now. So now you can deal with them maladies, and you can deal with them sicknesses a little bit better now. See, because I learned in life, and I can say I learned the hard way, because I wanted a title one time. I felt, man, this title going to be nice. I left a good paying job, had a pension and everything. Head turned on backwards. So all I seen was the title. I ran into hell with that title. But I learned something through that right there, is that we go through these crucibles, we go through these situations where it brings us a lot of pain on us, and I find out what God really is pleased with is how we conduct ourselves in them situations. See, because the world got a different set of principles how they lived and how we live. And I found out they were lying, they was doing forgery, they was doing everything. And I'm saying, man, it looks like they really got it easy right now, because they got each other to cover each other back. But see, I had to answer to God every night before I made them decisions. And that kept me kind of focused on what my purpose was here on life. That God said in Isaiah, somewhere around 42, I think it is, I said Isaiah 42. I guess the word of God is so large, it's choking out the bandwidth or whatever it is. Okay. Oh, I got to give him a verse. I apologize. I'm tripping. It's always good to have a sense of humor in these situations right here. But my guy say over here in Isaiah 40, he says this over in 42. Where is he at? Oh, here we go. I like this one right here, because it lets us know what our purpose is as well. He said around 42:6. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thee thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. This is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither praise to any graven images. So you see, God was talking about Christ there, but us being in Christ, he's talking about us too, and us being his ambassadors and what our calling is, so that when we do go back to the job, we do go back to our little social company and wherever we go, we have an obligation to God to display the virtues and the principles that we are instructed by his word before our fellow man. So, let me go back to my text. So I was saying that once I went through that experience right there, I got on my knees and I cried to God like a baby. And God rescued me from that troubling situation. And he dried my eyes as her blood was dried up. And she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, we all know Jesus knew who touched him, because he's God. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's all present. And he's all powerful. This is for us to identify with, because this is about identification right here. That truly, when you surrender and call upon him and bow down and believe, as God said, you are the Son of God based on your relationship with Christ. Not of anything that you have done. See, because he taught her, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, if it was any way for her to get a cure for her situation, then she could have boasted in that right there. But just like with us in regards to our salvation, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God." So she received a gift. It's only proper to say the person you received the gift from to say thank you. Ain't that kind of rude? To receive something of that magnitude and just run on off? See? Sometime we got to pay a little attention to our actions. So he said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee and saying, Thou who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I had to scratch my head today on this one right here, because I remember Moses talking to God and saying he wanted to see God. And God said, "You got to get into that rock, because anybody sees me, they're going to get consumed, because we're unclean and unworthy. We're sinners." Now, we school on up, God standing right there in front of her, and they having a face-to-face, and she ain't even consumed. You see that right there? Because that goes back to John. And when it talks about God coming into the flesh, and I'm gonna go there, John chapter 1, and I'll read it real quick. And it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. And this, the one I was talking about was right here in 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Proverbs says, by grace and mercy, I believe it is, our sins are cleansed. Our sins are expunged. And we see that grace in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he had to accomplish for us on Calvary, that he took upon that curse that was placed upon us because we couldn't keep God's righteous laws, and we still can't keep his laws. But because he has revealed to us the wisdom, the means, and that's being Jesus, by which we can be reconciled back to him, then that is our guarantee. And this is what was going on with this young lady right here in Mark 5. That God chose her as his elect. And because he's God and he doesn't answer to anyone. And I know we all in the said the song, I surrender all. And we scared inside because we're thinking about different things that God may want us to do. And but in actuality, whatever God will have you to do, he will equip you and qualify you so that you will be successful for whatever trial he has for you. So she came fearing because she still had an understanding of what the punishment might be because of the law. But because of grace and of mercy and grace, he took the fear away and poured love and compassion out to her. And that's all I think that we should desire from God. So when we say, Lord, have mercy upon me, because we know our heart, Lord, you understand. Keep some of that stuff away from me. You can block some of that stuff that may cause me to dishonor you. You can keep that individual's mouth closed. As a matter of fact, Lord, you can even strengthen me because I have your spirit in me. And that spirit is a spirit of omnipotence. So you can strengthen me to do what I normally couldn't do within myself, so that the promise may come true that we have our yearly thing with God working in us to do both the will and do of his good pleasure. So that's what should be on our hearts constantly, to please the one we love. And we learn how to please him by studying his word, so that we can stop constantly making the same old repeated mistakes. Because along in that verse over in Proverbs, it says that he that covers a sin seeketh love, but he that repeateth a transgression separateth. And his disciple, but the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Where is God at? He's near a broken heart. He's near, and he saved. No, he's near a contrite heart, and he saved such as a broken spirit. Well, if you tell him the truth, then that means you are following the instructions of God. And you are keeping that affinity. You're keeping that favor. You're keeping that relationship strengthened that you and him have. Because you know there's nothing you can hide from him anyway. He sees all things, and he's demonstrated that. Not in these scriptures and through our life. Because we are looking at a young lady who lost control of her life. But when she lost control, that's when she was on the right path. As long as she had the control, she was on the wrong path. See? And there was a word. It was called in verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter. See, she started outside the camp. Now she's back in the camp. How did she get back in the camp? Not through anything she did. It was all orchestrated by the sovereign, omnipotent hand of God. Allowing her enemies to have their way with her. Allowing her to utilize her ingenuity and her thinking on how to bring about an answer to her situation. And at the end of the day, for as Proverbs say, lead not to thy own understanding. God didn't feel offended at all. He was kicking back because he's already set everything in place. So as we look at the world, we see chaos. But with God, we know everything is working to the good of his glory. So whatever he wounds, he can heal. And whatever he kills, he can resurrect. So Charles Baldwin died when I met Christ. My new name is Christ. The Son of God. And each day, he's conforming through the circumstances, through people, through my rebelling, that unto that day, a perfect man that he'll be pleased with. Each day I can exercise faith, I believe in my heart, that is more valuable than anything in this world, that the King would find favor with me, that God find favor with me. So if he asks me to help somebody across the street, I got to say, thank you, Lord. Because he's not asking everybody to do everything for him. So it may hurt for me not to be vindictive. But I got to suck it up. Because I know there's a work God is doing in that right there. To my benefit. And there's one less spanking I have to get as well, too. So that helps out immensely. So we talk about the rate of exchange, and we see all the negatives in her situation. She offended God. She's a violator of the law. She got put out. Lost her family, lost her friends, lost all her money, was ostracized, social standing, toe up, pretty much everything gone. But when she touched, not with the hand, remember, not with the hand. See, because when they brought that lamb to be atonement for their sins, that innocent lamb, when they touched them, metaphorically speaking, if they didn't believe in their heart that this lamb was a type of the one who was to come, then God rejected that offering. But if their heart, they seen their Savior who was going to pay their price on Calvary's tree, there was a transfer. Their sins, his innocence. When we touch Christ through faith, that old man dies and we are new. and the blessings that come from that. Reconciliation, redemption, justification, propitiation, substitution, wisdom, atonement, and a redeemer. You see that? What are you holding on to? What is the issues today? Because if we just take these titles right here, we should have dropped them things when we walked through the door. Whatever it is, there is the answer. We just got to seek it out. But you have a God who through his Son did a work for us that took us from being an enemy to a friend. You have a friend who laid down his life that you may have life, and that more abundantly in time and for all eternity. I know what you older folks say now. When you get a little older, you get a little bit more wise. Well, guess what? They're absolutely right. Because from where I was and all them problems to where I'm at now, man, this is good. This is good. I don't have people blowing my phone up with who shot John and all that other foolishness and all them other anxieties that come. None of that no more. Because when you can point them to Christ, that pretty much runs them off right there. See, just like God, he know the very thing that's going to turn your heart. See, he knows that. So whatever you're struggling with, and you give it to him, he'll be in the great physician. He'll guide you into all truth so that you'll confess that thing, and then he'll bring a remedy. Because that is the wisdom of God right there, is to have an answer for whatever problem it is in our life. How could you go to a God, a Father, who say he rules everything and set it all in place, and then tell you the end, and he don't have an answer for your situation? I don't think there's nothing wrong with God. There's something wrong with you. Because he can't be God if there is something greater than him that can interfere in his plan. That's why he gave you the children of Israel. They came out of bondage. Then he said, you're going to the promised land. Where are you going today? To the promised land? Are you murmuring? Are you complaining? Is the word getting old to you? Do you got your eyes still set on the world? When his commandments say, do not love the world, anything that's in the world, for all that's in the world is the pride of life. I just said in 2:2, sin. See, once again, there was a promise that I identified this woman with. It's Isaiah 40:29-31. He give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. But they that wait on the Lord, 12 years, some of y'all been carrying stuff around for 20 years, 30 years, starting to show in your face now. Shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hold God to his promises. I'll hold him to his promises. Man, I didn't hold him to his promises a whole lot. And I tell my partners and everybody, I didn't shed tears talking to God. That stuff was so heavy on me. But guess what? He gave me an answer. That's what he did. Now, you got to find out for yourself. But I told him, man, Lord, I believe, I agree with you. This heart is deceitful and desperate, wicked above all things. Only you can know this thing. And only you, as that Mustang, can ride this thing and tire it out and do what's necessary to keep me from dishonoring you. Now, we know her ending turned out better than her beginning. And I wish the same for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. But we still got to go through the wilderness. And the scriptures say, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And there was a brother on the screen, his funeral is next week, Daniel. And I'll just mention that in closing, because that brother barely could walk, barely could see. But he would take them CDs to Hayward Bar Station, and he would be giving them CDs out. I see him 10 o'clock at night. Daniel, get in the car. I'm cool. Daniel, you don't even know what a corner is. Get your butt in the car. The Lord bless us to be able to have fellowship with a brother like that. Because I ain't been to NAM bar station. I think the farthest I went was to go to McDonald's, open my Bible up, and talk to somebody. But this brother, because God was working through him. See, that was the mark right there. He had a genuine concern for eternity-bound souls. We have to get our priorities right so we can have a concern for eternity-bound souls. Why we still are on this side of life. So my sister, after the Lord healed her, we already know the story. She got about the business as well, too, of proclaiming Christ as Lord and Savior and God. So please, after tonight, don't carry them things for another 10, 15 years. You got a God who's tapping his feet, waiting to bless you, to do all he can for you. But remember, his values ain't your values. Remember that. His priorities ain't your priorities. And he said that in Isaiah. For as the heavens is higher than the earth, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. But he has revealed them to us. Be good ambassadors. Be good stewards of what he has given you, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. Have a sincere love for people. Ask him to give you the courage, give you the boldness, give you the concern, give you the sympathy, give you the words, give you the opening to be able to share with those that don't know him. Because he can do it. What's more harder? To breathe life into dirt, or to put life in a virgin? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this privilege and opportunity you've given us to examine your word. Father, you've took all my nerves, you took all my fumbling and bumbling, and Father, you made sense of it. Father, make sense of our life to us. Because, Lord, without you guiding us, it's not going to turn out good. And, Father, you are God to be praised, a God to be worshipped, a God to be extolled. You are high above everything. Lord, continue to humble us. Because, Father, as with this woman, she didn't come high, she came low. And as that oil upon the head of the priest ran down all the way to the skirt, she wanted that anointing. And Father, you gave it to her. But Father, that was you working through her, because in herself she couldn't have did it. So Father, I'm asking you to work through my brothers and sisters that we may be able to do what you called us to do. Make sense, Father. And we thank you. Please give us traveling mercies to get home, and pray for the pastor he get back here safe. And pray, Lord, your good glory may go out into all the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.